Good morning. Today's reading is from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, from the Message. It can be found in the New Testament in the Deep Blue Bible on page 1164 and in the Chair Bible on page 77. Please stand, if you will, if you're able, for the reading of the Gospel. The story of the persistent widow. Jesus told them a story, showing that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. He said there was once a judge in some city who never gave God a thought and cared nothing for people. A widow in that city kept after him, "My rights are being violated. Protect me." He never gave her the time of day. But after this went on and on, he said to himself, "I care nothing what God thinks, even less what people think. But because this widow won't quit badgering me, I'd better do something and see that she gets justice. Otherwise, I'm going to end up beaten black and blue by her pounding." And then the master said, "Do you hear what that judge, corrupt as he is saying? So what makes you think God won't step in and work justice for his chosen people, who continue to cry out for help? Won't he stick up for them? I assure you, he will. He will not drag his feet. But how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he returns?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Watch over our hearts and minds this day, O God, that the words that we share together might reflect your wisdom and your challenge. Watch over our hearts and minds this day, O God, so that as we continue with a new journey, one of faith and learning about its presence in our lives, you might sustain us, keep us strong for the journey ahead. And when we falter and stumble, you might lead us with persistence to your presence. In Christ I pray. Amen. I don't want to alarm you, but in just over 2 weeks' time, the planet Earth, where we all live, is going to arc past an enormous ball of supercharged gas and plasma that is on fire. At the same time, an enormous chunk of dust and rock is going to arc past the Earth 7.35 times 10 to the 22 kilograms. That's how big that big rock is going to be. Here on Earth, there will be localized climate change. In some places, the temperature will drop by 20 to 30 degrees. There will be places where in the middle of day, darkness will fall. Now, if it sounds to you like your pastor is preparing you for end times, don't get alarmed. If we've been paying attention to the news, we know what's coming. The big eclipse. We've been talking about it for much of the year, actually. Well, if you're the sort of, nerd like me, you've been reading about it for much of a year. But it certainly has hit the major news now over the last month. It's a fairly rare event to have a solar eclipse somewhere near you. They're actually not terribly rare events. They happen quite regularly. But since most of the planet is water, to have it near us is a rare event. This will be the last total solar eclipse on the continental 48, probably in my lifetime. And so we're getting ready to see it. People are planning a day off. It's going to happen on a Monday. And they're extending their weekends, and everyone's driving to the center of the country. Missouri is the closest spot from here. I know this because guess what I'm going to be doing on that Monday 2 weeks from tomorrow? I want to see it. And they're already predicting the world's biggest traffic jam. Have you heard that? That the interstates might become parking lots. And that a trip that, say, from here to Missouri, where I could see it, would normally take about 8.5 hours, I should be prepared for 20 hours. Sounds like fun, doesn't it? Eclipses are rare things, at least to be near us. And so those of us who are curious want to check them out. We want to see them. And they're also an interesting metaphor for life. Because there are things in our life that are eclipse-like. We understand what causes an eclipse. The sun is here, the moon is here, the earth is there. The moon gets between the earth and the sun, and the darkness comes, and the cold comes just for a few minutes, and then everything's back to normal. I think we live in an age of eclipses. Now, solar eclipses nearby are rare, but there are other eclipses. The things in our world and in our life that, for example, can eclipse our faith. Know what I'm talking about? Faith is it's a choice we make to be believers and followers, or to choose to do with our time other things. It's a rather simple, straightforward choice, actually. And we live in a world with so many options and so many choices in it, it's pretty easy to find our faith getting eclipsed by those options and choices. One, for example, one that really won't be involved in the month ahead as we talk about faith, but is very much a part of our society, is our consumer culture. We have so many different choices of things to do and to have in our lives. Well, to take the time for faith, it sometimes gets crowded out. Consumer culture has, in many places, eclipsed faith. But there are other things that eclipse faith, too. And in the weeks ahead, throughout this month, we're going to look at those. But before we get there, I hope we can at least acknowledge at first that Jesus prepares us to understand that times in our lives when a faith is eclipsed are not just current challenges, but they're a part of every human experience. All the way back to his time, he understood that. That was the purpose of the story for this morning, oftentimes referred to as the unjust judge, but more correctly, the focus from Jesus' perspective is placed upon the woman who's trying to get justice. It's a delightful little story. Jesus is teaching to some of his followers, and he wants to get to this idea of how to maintain your faith. He really goes for persistence here, and he tries to come up with a great way of illustrating it. And so he says, well, there once was a certain city, and I have to tell you, when I hear the judge who is described as unjust in some settings, and our text for today as flat out corrupt, I start thinking in my mind, I wonder what city he's talking about. I've lived in Chicago for part of my life. I was thinking, well, maybe there. Or maybe there's someplace like that in his time. Or maybe he's talking about, it can really be any city. And there is a judge within that city. And there is a woman who wants justice. Now, we don't know the context for her desire for justice, but we do know the first century world in which it happens. And so this is probably a woman who is looking for some level of economic justice. She has some of her rights to property have been trampled on, and she is going to go to this judge and get her rights back. And so she shows up. And it's very clear in Scripture. He doesn't care what God thinks. He doesn't care about the right thing or the wrong thing. He's corrupt. And she shows up and she makes his case before him, and he says, Scripture doesn't flesh this out, but I think it probably went like this. He said to her, well, I'm sorry. If you just had some proof, if you could just show me something to prove your case, if you could just, you know, give me something physical that would help me understand what you're saying. You know, any sort of physical thing, he's corrupt. The way you get justice from him is what you put in his hand. But she's not. She knows her cause is just. And so she makes her case to him. And when he doesn't give her justice, she goes on her way and she says, probably over her shoulder, I'll be back tomorrow. And she shows up the next morning and makes her case again. And she probably shows up after lunch and makes her case again. She's the sort who probably stands outside his house at dinner time shouting her case so all the neighbors can hear. And she does it day after day after day until finally the judge, not because he's just, not because she's right, but because he is tired of getting beaten up, gives her her justice. And Jesus' point in this story is very clear. Be persistent. Be persistent in this one particular piece of a faith life here, prayer, and God will hear. Now, that does not, by extension, mean that everything we pray for gets a direct answer from God. It does mean that God's expectation of the people is that we will stick with it. That when it feels like the prayer isn't going to be answered, if it feels like we've been doing this forever, we'll still stay with it. That faith is not something we'll do just when it's easy in our lives, but faith is what we will really cling to when the hard times come, when it gets really difficult. And that faith is not something you can prove, like in a court of law, but it's a persistent belief in the thing that you can't prove. As one poet said, faith is stepping into the seeming void and finding the solid rock beneath. A people of faith are willing to be persistent. And so as we talk about the things that eclipse our faith, let's go back to the notion of consumer culture. It requires persistence on our part to not fall prey to the worship of stuff. We have to stay focused on spiritual matters. And we also have to believe that in this world, faith is something that is still relevant and still meaningful. As the solar eclipse and its scientific information points out to us, we have become a modern, scientifically sophisticated culture and world. And sometimes I think the church, as it tries to fit into this world, feels a little down because we're not scientifically structured. And instead of just saying, we believe what we believe because of faith, we sometimes try to fit into this world and try to rationalize proof for our faith. Let me give you an example. If you do a little web search about the upcoming solar eclipse, you can find sites that will tell you the fact that there is a solar eclipse coming is proof of the existence of God. And they'll point out to you that for the solar eclipse to work the way it does, the moon has to be exactly the right distance between the Earth and the sun. If it's a little further away from the Earth, it won't look like an eclipse. If it's a little closer, you won't see the sun at all. And they say, simply because it happens to be in just the right place, that must be proof of God. That's an example in my mind of the church in contemporary culture saying, you know, we live in a world of proofs and of science and of all that structure, therefore we have to find proofs too. Only for Jesus, it doesn't work that way. Oh, I suppose the woman who was seeking justice had all of her evidence lined up, but it wasn't about proof, it was about persistence. Faith works not because I can prove it to you in some scientific fashion. Faith works because it works for me. It gives structure and meaning to my life. It's really as simple as that. You know, in our culture today, there is this movement to make our faith somehow proven to the world that keeps showing up in different places. For example, in our schools, there's a movement to include something called intelligent design. Have you heard about this? The idea that the human body or parts of the human body, such as the eye, are so complicated they could not happen through evolutionary processes. That it must have been an intelligent designer, and we can prove that. Now, I will confess to you that I believe we were designed by God. I don't believe I can prove it. It's a faith statement. Oh, I really get. When all of the rest of the world in which you live is based on what you can prove, to have someone come along and say, I can't prove this to you, I just persist in believing it, that can create a little anxiety. But really, it's not just our faith that is in the category of things that we can't prove, but we still believe. Can I prove love exists? I know I love my wife. I know I love my children. I know there are many people in this world I love. I know I have a love for humanity. But can I prove what that looks like and how it works? No, I can't. I believe that God is a God of justice. And yet I live in a world where injustice is so common and prevalent. Can I prove to you that God is a God of justice? No, I can point to you in places of Scripture and say, I believe this. Church, let's become a place where instead of trying to conform to the world and prove there's an important reason for our existence, let's simply say we are a people of faith who live and abide and will persist in that faith in all things. And let's become a people like the women before the judge. Let's become a people who are willing to keep pushing and pushing and driving for the thing which we know is intended for all the people. Justice. God's reign. The kingdom that Jesus describes. Not because we can prove it's the way the world should be, but because our faith has informed us that this is the way the world ought to be. Jesus, as he tells the story, comes to a conclusion, and I think he has a kind of a poignant moment there. He describes this woman who is pressed against the judge until finally she gets the justice that is due her, and he says, don't you believe that it's just like this with God, that if you continue to ask in faith, that God's presence and God's kingdom will eventually come. You just need to be people who are persistent and therefore believe that it can happen. Maybe not in our lifetimes. Maybe it'll be rare like an eclipse and only show up here and there. Maybe it's something that we'll see once or twice in our lifetime and then we won't see it again. But God's reign is something we can believe in. It will come. And then he gets to the poignant question. When the Son of Man returns, will he find such persistent faith on earth? I'm not sure it's easy to be a follower of Christ these days. In a scientific modern world that says we need proof for everything, being a person who says, I don't have proof, I have faith, is hard to do. In a world that wants to cut corners and, have its little bit of corruption, maybe it's not easy to be a person who says, I'm going to abide by a belief in the kingdom to come, and I will have faith in that above all else. But that's Jesus' way. And he asked a rhetorical question to the people who were listening then, but I think it lingers in our hearts today. When he returns, will he find us persistent in faith? Amen.